So to begin, I'd really like to talk about this question of health equity. I think it's very fitting that we were invited up here because this year, for those of you, this might be a repeat for the breakfast, the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus was the lead caucus this year in developing the Health Equity and Accountability Act. And that's really the focus of my presentation because I think that all the relevant topics that we'll be discussing, especially in this session, are key components of the health equity bill that I'd like to walk through. And this is my very first APHA presentation, so I don't know if I have to read this, but it was like mandatory that we had to insert it as our second slide. So I will keep going. So what is the Health Equity and Accountability Act? I think for all of us in this work, why even work in health equity? Didn't we pass the Affordable Care Act many years ago? Isn't that the end-all be-all in 40 years of health equity, especially with the largest increase in access and coverage and federal resources devoted to HHS and several other departments. But just for some brief background, the Congressional Tri-Caucus, made up of the three minority caucuses, continues to put this bill together, and we wanted to think about health equity in this framework. Do we really do it in a new post-ACA world, or do we do it in a way that it has always been introduced since the last five Congresses? And so the Congressional Task Force chairs, and this is in the House side, are made up of Congresswoman Barbara Lee from Oakland, Congresswoman Donna Christensen from the Virgin Islands, and Congresswoman Lucille Roybal Allard. And for the Tri-Caucus, they really are the ones that have been pushing the health equity question for many years. Next year, the Congressional Hispanic Caucus will be leading the work. And so I think as we sunset with the Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander community being the lead and using it as a lens, let's look to next Congress at the Hispanic Caucus and really also continue to be involved. So this year, just to give you some background, the Congressional Tri-Caucus approached the Asian Pacific Islander American Health Forum and asked us to really rethink this question of health equity. In the last Congress, H.R. 3090, introduced by Congresswoman Donna Christensen, was the version that everyone felt was the most comprehensive health equity bill at the time. This was in a pre-ACA world, a pre-Children's Health Insurance Program world, a pre-American Recovery and Reinvestment Act world, and a pre-Health Information Technology High Tech Act world. And so we came together because we wanted to make sure that we heard from as many voices as possible when we came up with recommendations for this bill. And we called ourselves the HEAA Community Working Group, so short, the CWG. We have a lot of acronyms. And we discussed exactly what we would like the health equity bill to look like. And so this was of January of last year. So I think our two-year anniversary is coming up, and I hope that it ends well after a two-year relationship. So the Community Working Group met on a weekly basis, and I think we put ourselves in a room much similar to this and wondered who would actually come to this meeting. And we thought, because the fights of the ACA were so fresh in people's minds, that health care fatigue and health policy issues would be, you know, like we would just have a symbolic group. We were very amazed when we had more than 50 people show up into the room. Right now, the Community Working Group is made up of over 200 national organizations that traditionally work in the field of health disparities, National Council La Raza, National Urban League, NAACP. And we were amazed to find out that there was an appetite from other organizations, the American Association of Medical Colleges, the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association. We also had representatives, non-traditional partners, especially around consumer health. We had a representative from Consumers Union and other places. So this is the strange bedfellows that we all worked with. We had one representative from pharma in the room at one point. And so the Community Working Group worked together and worked very closely with Tri-Caucus and Senate staff to develop the bill. And our recommendations were over 150 pages long. So it wasn't a very small feat. So what happened in the 112th? So Congresswoman Barbara Lee introduced the Health Equity and Accountability Act, H.R. 2954, and it currently has 83 co-sponsors. And on the first day, there was 68 original co-sponsors. And for those of you unfamiliar with working with Congress, having more than 50 co-sponsors means that it's a bill that people care about. And so this is the first page of the bill. As you can see, that's actually the whole list of original co-sponsors on the day of. And so if for those of you who would like to read more about it, it's 650 pages long. So Senator Akaka from the great state of Hawaii introduced S2474 in April of this year to coincide with Minority Health Month. It's identical legislation to the House version, except in the Senate they actually stripped every single language piece around authorization of appropriations, because in the House side, I think there was more leniency, so they actually could put dollar amounts for what they would like. And in the Senate side, given the leadership position that Senator Akaka had with the Democratic Steering and Outreach Committee, it was advised that he remove all the pieces around asking for money. So again, we're just glad it got introduced. And this is the very first time since 2005 that identical health equity bills were introduced in both the House and the Senate. And that was a testament to the wonderful work that the Community Working Group did, putting together a coalition of lobbying and resource preparation, because as the health forum ourselves, we really can't do all this work, otherwise we'd be very in trouble with the IRS. So the Health Equity and Accountability Act actually contains 10 different titles. This is the first five titles. As you can tell, the pieces that you all came here to work on are the top three titles around data collection, culturally and linguistically appropriate care, and health workforce diversity. And this wasn't a coincidence. We actually made this a concerted effort, because for the Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander community, these top three items continue to be the pieces, like Daphne and Dr. Nguyen talk about, things that are longstanding priorities for our communities, and everything else, I don't want to say secondary, but we modeled it in this way. So the next 10 titles, or the next five titles, include the other pieces. And we wanted to end it with this piece around prevention and social determinants of health. As all of us here in the room working in public health, we understand that social determinants and prevention continue to be the buzzword of our work. And so symbolically, we ended it with this because we felt that the next Congress can expand on Title 10 and continue to work, especially with this administration and the great things that they've done around working to look at how prevention and social determinants can be a place to attack longstanding racial and ethnic health disparities. And so I just wanted to highlight some data collection provisions. I know that Sela will probably talk about more, but these are some things that I thought would be very useful for our communities. Language around oversampling, this Section 115 around health data is something that I worked closely with Sela many years ago, so it actually made it into the bill. Pieces around socioeconomic status that are cross-cutting not only for the AA and NHPI population, but different populations. Relevant language access provisions, really around how we can get the federal government to pay for these things that we know have been wonderful pieces in our health settings, our community work, and our different our lives outside conferences. And so, as you can tell, that these are just selected pieces of about 12 different titles related to language access. I didn't want to put a slide around immigrant status because I didn't know if these slides would become public, and I didn't want these to be attacked in the next Congress, but I can talk to you, hopefully off the record, about how there are wonderful pieces around immigrant access in this bill. We all know that the ACA limits coverage and a lot of the pieces around people who are deemed lawfully present. And we know that in our work, lawfully present doesn't discriminate, especially around the field of public health. And so we included language, and we thought we would get pushback for this, that repeals that language in the bill, which would allow anyone to actually purchase health insurance through the health insurance exchanges, which are the mechanisms for expanding coverage for a large part of the population, and also around Medicaid expansions. And so I think those two pieces are very important. We also include language in the bill to talk about how HHS, working in conjunction with the Department of Commerce and other relevant data collection pieces of the federal government, can start to look at how how they could do an optional study on immigrant status. I think that for all of us, immigrant status, especially when you have a federal worker knocking on your door, is a code for we're not going to tell you anything. And part of that is you lose a very important chunk of data on a population that we know may or may not be experiencing some of the worst healthcare disparities in this country. And so I can talk to you guys after this about those other relevant immigrant pieces, but I'd like to now bring it back to this in my last 3 minutes. So why work on the health equity bill? We know that we're not naive. We know that this would not pass. We actually devoted a huge chunk of our hours into working on this 650-page piece of legislation, and we did it only because, not also, it's good work, but we wanted to make sure that this is opportunities for our community to use as a vehicle for administrative action, legislative action. I spoke earlier this morning about how the health equity bill does represent the hopes and aspirations of the health equity community around what are some best practices for federal resources and support to eliminate health disparities nationally. And so I think it is a clearinghouse for many of you if you continue to do the work, if anyone's interested in legislative advocacy, to maybe take pieces of it that work for your organization, replace federal government with state government, and turn it into model legislation for your state houses. And so I think one of the pieces that we've been trying to shop around and tell people is our pieces related to cultural and linguistic access, because I think those models are great. I know California is probably the best state around that, but I know that there are some of us who don't come from California that could definitely use the help and language. And so please look at the bill and see if you if it works for you. We also did it because we wanted to make sure that we stopped talking to each other. We always continue to talk to each other, but we don't talk to organizations like AARP, the American Association of Medical Colleges, who really have a stake at helping eliminate racial and ethnic health disparities in our communities. And we also know that they have many resources and money that can help support our work. And so I'm not saying that we invited them because they were the popular kids, but we invited them because they've been in this business long, much longer than many of us, especially at the national level. And so, I don't know why I did that slide. I want to end it with good news. So the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus met with President Obama last September, and they talked about, you know, what are some great things that you'd like. And Congresswoman Barbara Lee, in her infinite wisdom, said, why don't you implement the health equity bill administratively? And the president said, yes, let's do it. How can we do it? And so for the very first time in the history of this health equity bill, a sitting president has endorsed the concept of the Health Equity and Accountability Act. And so he directed, and I'm sure Alec probably got some of these phone calls, HHS to see what they can actually do administratively. And so we met with Dr. Gracia from the Office of Minority Health for an assessment and evaluation report, and we thought it was just going to be very shallow and, yeah, we're doing it and you guys should be patient. She actually told us all the different things that she did, and it was an hour and 30 minutes of really great news, and usually we don't get good news around that. And so the next steps for it is, really, how can this look in the 113th Congress? And with that said, my time is up, and I will leave my information up here, and I'll be open to questions after.